Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Oversharers podcast. Da-dum, dum, dum. You are joined today by Callie and Hobble.
Okay, guys, how are you? How's it been? What can I say? We haven't recorded for a week.
Yeah, it's been a week of just, it's been a mess. I'm not going to lie. You guys are probably concerned as to why you haven't seen the YouTube videos, why the podcast episodes have been all over the place. And quite frankly, Hather and I are fed up.
Are we?
We're fed up.
Oh, okay. Go on, tell us.
We are fed up with, no, I'm joking.
Oh, are you projecting?
I'm just fed up with my work-life balance at the moment.
I agree.
I feel like work has stepped up recently. And before, work and life were like here. There's a good balance. It was 50-50. But there's just a lot going on in my life at the moment. Or maybe I'll tell you guys one day.
You're going to tell them on the Patreon.
God, you better subscribe to the Patreon.
Coming soon. No, basically, we took a week off because obviously we just felt like it would be really awkward of us to just be laughing, hee-hee, happy, telling stories.
While people are dying.
And being bombed left, right and centre.
By Israel.
Indeed. So we just wanted to take a break. Why are you smiling? It's true. Israel is bombing the people.
I just wanted to make clear because, you know, a lot of people dance around the issue. I don't like it. There's a lot of dancing around the real issue. There is oppressor, there is oppressed. And we know what's going on, but people don't want to talk about it because they're afraid, you know.
But you know, a lot of people have.
A lot of people have.
Okay. There's a lot of people that keep saying the words, it's a very complicated conflict, is very confusing, it's got a rich history, and really and truly it really doesn't. It's not complicated.
It's got a rich history of death, destruction,
you know,
and
there's an occupier
and an occupied,
indeed, and there are people who are currently being oppressed
by oppressors.
Sorry, I'm smiling because Clotilde's trying to go for her Red Bull, but she can't show that on
Red
the YouTube.
Red Bull's
she can't show that on the YouTube. So yeah, honestly, we felt really, really just overly depressed about what's happening. And you know what's really sad? And I think it's kind of shown me like a sense of gratitude because I'm more grateful to Allah now because we live, most of us, even you watching here, live such comfortable lives. We have a roof over our heads. We have food. No one's bombing us. Our kids go to sleep at night.
But it's so mad that we have the comfort of being able to watch these, you know, horrible things happening from our TVs, from our sofas.
And I'm just,
alhamdulillah. With our full fridges.
Exactly. But also, it's given me a sense of alhamdulillah to Allah for giving us the life that we have. But also, what can we as people do to help people going through that? And the more we talk about it, people just, another thing that made me think about this situation from a perspective, because when something bad happens in the world, it goes viral, people talk about it for like a month or two, and then it dies down slowly, and then everyone kind of gets back to their daily routine and you forget about it. Palestine, Gaza, it's not at your forefront of your FYP. Do you know what I mean?
The peaks and troughs.
Yeah.
Peaks and troughs.
And now people are refusing to put it on the back burner, even though it's been 2-3 weeks now that this is happening, which is really, really sad. But people are refusing to put it on the back burner because it needs to be vocalized. And the more it's vocal on social media, on every single story, on everyone's page, the more people are going to understand it. And the last point I wanted to make is, it's actually working because loads of people that would never have understood about what's happening in Israel and Gaza are learning more about it now, and they're turning towards the religion, which I wouldn't think that, but you know, subhanAllah, loads of people are thinking, they're looking at the patience and the sense of calmness of the people in Palestine. There was this guy that his children all died, and he was talking to another guy that was crying, and he was like, why are you crying? Like, they're in Jannah. Like, they're going to intercede for us on the day of judgment when something happens. You need to be grateful. And the woman was like, I can't even comprehend the level of faith that that man has to be saying that. So then she started reading the Quran.
No.
So she's in the process of reading the Quran at the moment, and she's literally started reading a few pages. She started learning about Islam. But it just shows you, like, so much can happen.
Yeah, from something so sad.
Literally.
So there's this guy. Do you remember when we went to Palestine?
Mm.
And then we were at the airport in Jordan going home, and there was that guy that we met, and he was from Gaza. And he managed to, like, get out. I don't know if you remember him. But anyway, we kept in contact all these years. And today I just went on his Facebook, because he didn't used to, like, speak up about it too much. Like, he moved to Belgium, got married, had kids, like, living a great life, mashallah. And then I went on his Facebook today randomly, and I just saw that he was, like, posting posts from, like, his friends and stuff, like, loads of condolence messages, that there was one family, a guy, and, like, literally his whole family's, like, wiped out, like, kids, in-laws, in one sitting. And I was just like, I was just literally scrolling through his page, and I was like, oh my God. And I was just remembering how we met, and it was, like, at the airport, and he was like, yeah, I fled Gaza. And, like,
I don't know, I don't remember this.
Yeah, I don't. Oh, I'll show
it's,
you.
That's my
P,
bro. Yeah.
He was talking about how he fled Gaza and stuff, and he needed a lot of help at the time. I just remember him so vividly because he was very sweet to us. And, like, the trajectory that his life has taken since then, being, you know, basically a refugee in Jordan airport, to then having moved. I think he went to loads of different places before he settled in Belgium. Like, go on his Instagram sometimes, got married in that time, had children, very beautiful kids along about it. And then I was like, I was just decided to go on his Facebook today, and it was just him just reposting
condolences.
Like, just reposting things from his friends that are still in Gaza, from possibly really close family connections and stuff like that. And literally every single one was a condolence message.
So sad.
I know.
And if the mainstream media do not wake up and, like, just stop this bias. I don't know how else to say it. There's literal IDF TikTokers on TikTok doing dances in their IDF uniforms. And then in comparison, you've got people literally crying, children crying because their parents have died, and they're wailing and they just want to say goodbye to them. It just makes me sad. Like, it's 2023 and people are literally,
like, my concern,
they're rationalizing,
you know,
this.
My concern is just we're going to get so desensitized to the image of dead babies in the road surrounded by rubble. That imagery in itself is,
it's horrible.
The worst thing that you could ever see. But as I'm just scrolling through the posts, constantly seeing that, more and more it's like I can feel myself becoming desensitized to it, which is crazy.
Yeah. There was this little girl, and the nuance of this just made me think, wow. So you know how Disney has pledged, like, £1 million to support Israel for aid, which people need to separate Gaza and Hamas. It's just too much now, yeah? So they've pledged, Disney, I think Starbucks, McDonald's are feeding IDF soldiers, but, you know, Gaza has no food, water, or electricity, which is crazy to me. Anyway, this little girl, she's like 6-7 months old. She's wearing a Mickey Mouse t-shirt. She's got blood all over her, guys. Trigger warning. And they're trying to get her to get better. She's in the hospital. And it just made me think, Disney, she's wearing the Mickey Mouse outfit from Disney, who have pledged £1 million to Israel. And this little poor girl, that is just, it just shows you guys. Literally, they've got nothing. It's so sad.
God, I don't even want to talk about
it. It's just so sad. And I really hate it, but
I just hate, do you know what it is, Hod? I hate that this has got to be on our screens. I hate it. I hate that this is happening.
I hate that it's happening, but I think people need to see that this is happening. They need to see it, and it's not us, because we've seen it regularly, but it needs to go on the feeds of people who just
because
shut their
the
mind
news
off.
Aren't gonna,
the news aren't going to do it. They've only started
do
it. Doing it.
Do you know
it?
I had to unfollow Financial Times? I was like, excuse me? Why are you feeding me fake news?
And it's also the language they use, died and killed. And the other day, Sky News, I think her name is Kate Burley or something, she changed the words of the British ambassador to Palestine, and I forgot what the actual quote was, but she had to do a public apology. And it wasn't her that publicly apologized for, you know, lying about the words that he said, essentially. Mm-hmm. It was Sky News. But I just thought that's such
why is that even necessary?
Why lie to begin with?
Exactly.
Just say what he said.
No, I just think the reason why in this instance, because we've seen Gaza being bombed for how long? Every Ramadan, there's calamity.
They've been in occupation for 70
years. For so long. We've just seen this constantly. So my concern now is when the media are reporting about it, it's just so divisive and so dangerous. What they're saying is very much, I don't know what these, what are the little sinister things that are happening in the background. Yeah. I don't understand what's going on.
Yeah.
But it's like, I can't believe that this is what people are seeing. Regular people in flipping, do you know what I mean? Wales and in the villages in the UK.
But like, people are waking up. That is the other, I would say 50%. I would say most people are waking up, because when Israel bombed the hospital, and it's actually confirmed that they did, because Channel 4 did an investigation and so did Al Jazeera of what sort of missile was used, blah, blah, blah. Mm. But the BBC and Western media don't want to acknowledge that, which is crazy.
I was so shocked. Do you know how shocking it was to see first thing in the morning that the BBC are talking about how it potentially could have been a rocket fired by Hamas?
What? And at the beginning of the night when that actually happened, they said it was Israel, number one.
They snitched on themselves.
Literally with the tweet. It was just crazy. And then on top of that, what was my next point? Oh, what was I saying? I had a crucial point to make. It was about the hospital, the bomb.
The woman on the news. No. What were you saying? You were saying something. I know where you were going with it as well.
So it was about
the hospital. People waking up.
So people waking up. Yeah, so then Al Jazeera and Channel 4 did that investigation. Loads of people saw it on TikTok. They're questioning what's happening. Then the British ambassador for Palestine made this really good point on the Piers Morgan show. Talk TV. By the way, Piers Morgan, genuinely, I feel like he's on the side of the Palestinians, but he's being a coward and he won't admit it because he keeps putting people on his show who make really good points about what's happening that other shows don't do. Anyway, the guy, the ambassador for Palestine came on Talk TV with Piers Morgan and said to him, Israel does this thing where they do something, they deny it, it goes away, and then months later they admit it. And he was like, this is what's going to happen with the situation. And then Piers Morgan was like, no, that's not going to happen. So they did the investigation, Channel 4 and Al Jazeera, two different entities, and they both came up with the same fact that it was Israel, allegedly. And then the president, Biden, who I'm really shocked by, can I just say, because he's got an election coming up and majority of Americans, his rating has gone down so much.
They're voting for Trump.
It's crazy. Trump is in jail. I don't really can vote for him.
I would vote for Trump right now if I was in America.
His rating has gone down so much, but the fact that he's like...
There's a whole group of politicians whose ratings have gone down. Biden, Rishi, Keir.
It's gone down.
Like it's giving...
We'll come to Labour. Give me a second, yeah?
Because we need to talk about this.
We need to talk about...
Because I don't know who I'm voting for in the next election.
I'm not voting, but I'll tell you guys, yeah? Anyway, his Biden's thing, all the Biden's points have gone all the way down, and he's still stuck on this idea that he needs to support Israel. And it's the idea that every time he refers to the war, but it's not a war because it's one side over the other,
it's
an occupation. But every time he refers to this conflict, he's always, in one of the facts, he was like, yeah, I think it was the other team that did it. You know when they use phrases like that, it's a game to them. Yeah. It's not a football match about it's the other team that did it. And then my final point with that is America are basically refusing to do an investigation on who bombed the hospital
because they know
the truth.
They know.
And it's just sad.
It's just, I don't know. The propaganda is it's giving like Iraq war propaganda. Weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah.
When they found none
and it was a lie.
We have to start asking the very serious question is what is the gain here? What is actually going on?
Yeah.
Like, what is the stuff that's being hidden under the carpet?
But people are waking up now.
Yeah.
Because before we were younger when Iraq happened.
Like, what geopolitical issue? What foreign policy? Like, what is going on?
Like, are you doing?
Is it oil? What is it?
To me, I feel like Israel is a very important entity for America to ally with in the Middle East.
Yes,
I feel like
absolutely.
They're backing them.
They're the military base in the Middle East.
But to what extent are you going to back Israel? To what point, Biden?
How long is it going to happen? They're the US military base in the Middle East. But it's then at the same time, is Israel controlling America? Like, what's going on?
To me, it's
like,
questionable.
Who is the narcissist in this relationship?
It's questionable. Also, what Israel is a small country. What are you doing? They get like $3 billion in aid every single year from America alone. What are you doing with that? It's a madness. And we know what they're doing because they've got the Iron Dome. No other country has the Iron Dome in their country.
Isn't
they've it? Got the most techiest of tech when it comes to weapons, when right? it comes to everything. So I get what the $3 billion is coming to.
They're training US soldiers. How about that?
I think so. And then the other conspiracy is Mossad, who is the intelligent agent. Guys, also, can I just say, we are a dumb little
well,
podcast.
Well, yeah, we're flipping stupid.
These are our thoughts.
Please don't go and fact check us.
Please. These are just things we're regurgitating because we're two stupid girls in a podcast episode. But we shall carry on because right. it's an important discussion
yeah,
to
on,
have.
I feel like you're onto something.
Anyway, so Mossad, who is the most decorative CIA intelligence, well, I won't say CIA, but the most decorative intelligence agency in the world. They're the best. Are you telling me, yeah, that they didn't know that that situation was going to happen on the 7th of October?
Course, of course they knew. I just think this was a planned situation.
Shall I tell you why? Yeah. So recently, someone was saying on TikTok, who is an Israeli citizen in Israel at the moment, they said 2 weeks before the incident happened on the 7th of October, I don't know if it was the military or the prime minister or the president, whoever. What is Netanyahu? Is he the prime minister or the president?
I want to say prime minister.
No, they've got a prime minister.
No, I want to say
he's the president. He's the leader. So whoever the leaders are, the military told a city that was near Gaza or Lebanon. I don't know which one it was. I don't know if it was the northern region or near Gaza. Anyway, they told that city, they said, it's the holidays coming up, the Jewish holidays are coming up. We can sense that there's some aggression about to happen. There's stuff in the atmosphere. Should we increase our surveillance in that area? Should we have some military response? The military told them stand down in those 2 weeks. And then some other stuff happened, but I don't remember fact checking. Anyway, so the military were told to stand down. A lot of stuff was happening in the background. And people were saying, don't worry, nothing's going to happen. And then boom, the 7th of October happened. And then loads of people are speculating that allegedly Netanyahu, I can't even say his name, allegedly him, he has allowed this to happen so he can get re-elected. But obviously that's on the back burner now because majority of Israelis are not happy with him and they want him to resign.
And that, my friends, is what's been brushed under the carpet. It's not, it's got not, I just don't even think it's got anything to do with Gaza and Hamas and whatever. I think this is purely political.
No, I definitely agree with that. Then there's another fact, guys, it's all coming out tonight. There's this document, I'll post it on the Instagram stories, the guy that was talking about it. But there's this document that was created in 1967 in Israel. And it's basically an entire agenda of how they're going to wipe out the Palestinians from, or not wipe them out, but as in take them out from the land. So they, in that agenda, it basically says to take settlements from them, to punish them in their own land. So forcibly arrest them, bomb them, remove them forcibly, things like that, just so that they can take over the land. And it's an actual document. You can find it on Google.
No, listen to this, yeah. You know when basically,
and it's all happening
you
now.
You know when the state of Israel was like being charted, yeah. So what they did extensive research in Palestine at the time. So they were like looking at areas where Palestinians were like either really intelligent or if they were dumb or if they, I'm being serious, they were doing extensive data collection in various regions to ascertain whether or not it was safe to basically create settlements there. So obviously, if they were like people that were quite gullible, if they didn't really get what was going on, and they weren't, you know what I'm trying to say,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So what they did was they'd make a note. They'd say, oh, you know, in this area there lives Palestinians of X IQ, blah blah blah. Yeah, to try and figure out can we basically colonize this
these
area?
People?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Imagine it.
Someone gave the analogy of, like, I think it was Dave Chappelle in like one of his recent comedy skits. Anyway, he basically said, without mentioning who it is, he was like, imagine aliens lived on this planet and, you know, they were forcibly taken out of the planet. They left, whatever happened, a million years later, the aliens came back and the aliens basically said, you know what, we used to live here before, so we're just going to take it for ourselves.
Yeah,
like, would the Earth accept that?
No.
No, no one would.
No one would accept what's happening. That's crazy. In Palestine right now.
Rishi Sunak, Keir Starmer. I've got no one to vote for.
The only guiding light in all of this is Jeremy Corbyn. Bless him.
And the people's prime minister.
The people's prime minister, and they won't accept him.
They won't accept him. They just. But have you seen the Labour Leaks episode on YouTube?
No.
They basically create a smear campaign against him, labelled him an anti-Semite, and that was what they used to take him down. He's not an anti-Semite.
Guys, refusing to accept Israel does not make you anti-Semitic.
And
there are Jewish people.
Shall I tell you what's making me laugh right now? I'll tell you what's making me laugh is the fact that people now in this climate, not gang members, but just general people are waking up to the fact that it's not anti-Semitic to be pro-Palestinian. It's not anti-Semitic to condemn
the Israeli government.
Yeah, and the occupation that's happening. It's not anti-Semitic to say that there needs to be an end to the occupation, which is basically what Jeremy Corbyn was saying. Jeremy Corbyn never used to come out and say never used to go on anti-Semitic slurs. He just used to say the right things.
You know what's crazy to me?
That's how he lost his job.
Yeah, because he made a statement to say that he supported Palestinians.
And you know what I love about him? He's not a switch sides kind
of
politician.
He stuck to it.
He said, I'm going to die on this hill.
Since 1968, since the 70s, this man has said it.
He said, I'm going to die on this hill. If that is not like
a leader.
A leader with integrity, who you feel like you can trust, that isn't going to basically change his, you know, political views with the snap of a finger. If you get, you know, flipping £100,000 in funding from this organisation. No. Like, it just goes to show, it just is a testament to his character. And I think that's he shouldn't have been elected in 2019.
He should have, he should have. But the other thing that makes me really sad, especially in the country that we live in, is, so you know recently there was a protest in London, I think it was last weekend.
And there was one on Saturday.
Yeah, this Saturday, I think.
Yeah, the big one.
The big one.
Yeah.
And there was a train driver that basically said free, free, and then the people in the train were like Palestine.
Yeah,
so now the transport police are basically investigating whether that was a hate crime. How is saying from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free? That is not a chance.
Suella Braverman opened a fat gob and is trying to criminalize it.
But that's what I don't understand. So like any sort of support.
Oh my God, Suella, please don't take me back. Please don't deport me.
Why though? It's not going to be. You can't be deported. Don't be scared of her, Colton.
Suella, do you know how hard we work for these passports? Yeah, I've got naturalization documents at home. Don't even try it.
My mum walked through heavy snow to take that English test.
We went to the Home Office.
Is it the English test?
We went to that Home Office every week in the 90s. You're not taking nothing from me.
Anyway, she can't take anything away from us. My point, actually she can, but you know what I mean. It doesn't matter.
No, we're going to get Shamima Big.
No, guys, can we just question, how are people, unless I'm thinking, I am not racist to Jewish people. Sadly, I don't have any Jewish friends, but if I did.
You don't need to say that.
But I'm
though.
Just saying, no, we need to make a point of it because I need to say something, yeah. I know people on Instagram who are Jewish, who are pro-Palestine. You can be pro-Palestine and want freedom for the Palestinian people and not be anti-Semitic. And that is what Suella Braverman does not understand.
Word to Jeremy Corbyn.
It's crazy to me. People are putting up Palestinian flags in support of Palestine the same way that people were doing up the blue and yellow for Ukraine, right? And people are calling up the police on them, saying, we're concerned about this. It's a hate crime against Jews. It is not a hate crime against Jews to support Palestine.
How many times have we seen, flags erected for countries that have had, catastrophes? When it's a Western country, it's like, right, everyone, change the colours of your Facebook profile. Do you know what I mean?
It's crazy.
But the minute we want to start waving Palestinian flags and chanting...
It's not a chant. It's a term in endearment. Go on.
But the minute we start wanting to raise our flags for Palestine and be like, these are things that are said in peaceful protests, Harbour, and we have a right to protest.
We are. Although she's trying to take that right away. And so is the police.
Honestly, you can't reason with these people. Wallahi, I can't reason with these people. Because at the heart of it is a hate for Muslims.
It can be. Why else?
To hate for brown people.
And it's the other thing that really annoys me, and I think BBC tried to correct themselves on this, is they keep saying the Hamas war.
they're trying to associate Hamas to the Palestinian flag, which is not true. That is not it. It doesn't make sense. There's extremists in every country. Does
and
that who, mean...
And what creates extremism? That's what we need to start. Those are the questions we need to ask. What radicalizes people? I wonder.
It's a questionable thing. Especially in Palestine, why would people, if someone has been bombed, if someone's lost every single member of their family. Now, when people say member of their family, you guys don't, they've lost their mum, their dad, their brothers, their sisters, their uncles, children. Their children, their grandma. Someone's got literally no one, and he's a 15-year-old boy. All of that torment, what do you think he's going
to
do?
He's not allowed to be angry.
It doesn't make sense.
He's not allowed to act out.
Honestly.
Because what happens as soon as they start acting out is they get put into this group of...
He's a terrorist, he's a militant.
They start forming, they start organising. Of course, you know...
Guys, they're being occupied.
They're being occupied. What do you expect?
They literally, if you... The way you can go to the shop and get
yourself...
They're
literally organising to
free themselves. It's just so sad, wallahi. It's so sad. People can't even step out of Gaza. My man can't book a flight and go to Jordan or go to the Maldives. He's stuck in a square foot the size of Glasgow. Let's be real.
It's a joke. It's an actual joke.
I'm so sorry. Whereas people in Israel, I'm so sorry.
Because we've seen the snaps. We've seen the geotags.
We've seen the you're sitting on the beach.
You're on the beach. You're sunning yourself. Like, we have to actually make it make sense at this point.
I don't get it.
But you know what makes me sad is all these political leaders all going out there saying, oh yeah, we stand with Israel. But what is actually happening in Israel? Israel's, you know, a peaceful country. Nothing
at the moment.
Nothing is happening there. Go to Gaza. I want political leaders to go to Gaza.
And you know what? It's sad if people die either way. It's horrible. You don't want no one to die. But my point is... all I'm seeing right now is Israeli people doing up comedy. Have you seen that video of that girl?
Yeah.
That's acting like she's in Palestine trying to do a get ready with me, taking the absolute piss. It makes me think if Nazi Germany had social media, that's how people would act. And she like powdered stuff on herself to make it look like the house got bombed. You're making me sick. I'm so sorry. I can't have sympathy when you're acting like that. But people are literally dying. Now, I think people need to, like, because they've become so desensitized, like you said, you need to spell it out to them. Do you know what death means? Children are having they're sleeping at night and then a bomb goes off, trigger warning, and their body parts everywhere. That's what it means. And it's like, no one's getting a warning. No one's getting nothing. Gaza is getting bombed left, right, and center. They've got nowhere to go. They can't hide in hospitals. They can't hide in mosques. They can't hide in churches. Even the churches got done. The oldest church in Gaza got bombed. It's not just a Muslim thing. They don't care about anyone. They want people out. And that's not fair. I'm so sorry. It just makes me sad. I just want to cry while I...
Do you know what? One thing that keeps coming out from these... One thing that politicians keep saying, one thing that world leaders around the world keep saying is we need to establish a two-state solution based on the 1967 borders. That's what they keep saying. Israel haven't stuck to any peace treaty.
Ever.
Ever. They've always violated. So what makes you think today, if there's a ceasefire and you establish a two-state solution based on the 1967 borders, that they're not just going to go in there and take... Because the whole ideology is the whole land belongs to them. That's what Zionism is. We need to get these people out or kill them.
And the other thing for me is, cool, let's say Hamas is in Gaza, which they are, right? Why are Palestinians getting killed in the West Bank? Why are they getting bombed? Why is a little 3-year-old boy getting kidnapped so his dad can
Jerusalem,
be ransomed?
In Ramallah, in flipping, do you know what I mean?
In Hebron.
It's not just happening in Gaza.
Why is that happening to the Palestinian West Bank then? It don't make sense. It's not just the Christian Palestinians or the Muslim Palestinians. It's happening everywhere. It just shows you they don't want them.
They just want them.
They just want their own.
Mm.
And it's not going to happen.
My
head hurts. And my last point is going to be to David Lammy, right? Honestly, he's really angered me because he made a vibrant point to say Israel has a right to defend itself. when they asked him about water, food and electricity being taken away, if that's collective punishment, he said Israel has a right to defend itself several times.
It's like a robot, isn't
right?
it?
Guess what?
It's like AI.
It's AI, because it's like, it's a script.
Yeah.
They get given a script. This is how you act for PR, basically. Yeah. Last week, LBC, he comes out and says, I find it, I wish I could play it, guys. Wait, guys. Entertain the people, so I'm going to find the script. I can't take this one seriously. I hope you lot can hear this.
Information and disinformation online. I mean, being online is such a sort of awful place to be at the moment. It's like a cesspit. It's a cesspit. And I, you know, you can see it just happening in real time. The videos, the footage, the edits of what politicians are saying, the deliberate kind of dehumanizing of people. It's quite unbelievable.
David, are you dumb or are you blind? That was him last week dehumanizing Palestinians.
I heard that he's got these aspirations of becoming a foreign minister in the next election. So that's why he's being a little puppet.
They're all backpedaling.
Yeah.
Literally last week.
But I think he's going to get unseated in Tottenham. I'm so sorry.
No one's...
How can you take this man seriously?
I was so shocked when I saw that. He was like, when people are, the media, the edits are dehumanizing people. It was you dehumanizing people.
Isn't it really sad that people are basically willing to just compromise their own morals and values just for some worldly gain, just to be in a position, just to have, you know, aspirations of being a foreign minister. Like, it just shows me how incapable you are of being a foreign minister.
It just, this entire government has just shown me they don't give a fuck. I'm so sorry. They don't give a fuck. And it's just sad.
So when we flying out?
Flying out where?
When we leave, when are we leaving?
Wallahi, Doha.
Because Suella's coming for us.
I'm just saying, guys.
Suella's coming.
My 5-year plan ain't here. Because I can't. Who am I going to vote for? I can't even vote for Labour anymore. Wallahi.
Who are we going to vote for?
The Green Party. I was thinking the Green Party, but then I heard their leader say the other day that they don't condone halal meat.
Oh, for God's sake.
I was like, what the hell?
I wish we could do a poll on people's voting intentions in the next general election.
It's hopeless.
In London.
Hopeless.
What are we going to do? What are we actually
Does Lib Dem still exist?
Yeah, because I ain't had a peep out of them.
I know. But Keir Starmer. He took it out.
Isn't he like a human rights barrister or something?
He is. He was in charge of
Doesn't he know about international law?
He does.
Great detail.
And he couldn't answer the question. All I heard was Israel's got a right to defend itself.
AI. It's not even Keir Starmer talking at this point.
It's just sad, wallahi.
It's giving deep fakes all over the internet.
It's like an episode of Black Mirror. Wallahi, that's what I feel like. And I need it. Let it be, wallahi. If Palestine gets its freedom, it gets its freedom.
Do you know what, Shamit? Shall I give you one solid piece of not advice, but one little nugget of information that is just going to lighten up your whole entire mood?
Go on.
Everything that is happening, Allah's greater.
I do. I agree.
Allah's greater. We're going to see the Palestinians in Jannah, inshallah.
If we get in.
Ilayo, please let us get to Jannah.
Oh my God, the idea of me not getting into Jannah makes me really sad.
I know, me too. Please ask about me if you're there and I'm not.
Please ask about me.
No, I'm being serious.
No, I know you. You'll forget about
me.
No,
you're
going to get
me.
Lost
you'll
in this
enjoying.
Sauce. You're going to be 50
be
million years enjoying. I'm like, oh, tea
You're
going
to be drinking water from the river and saying, wow, this is so nice. 50 years later, by the Hassel Sunaysa.
But Tea Harbour, do you remember? Allah Harbour, where is she? I haven't seen her.
You better ask about me in Jannah. Because, you know, we don't know. Anyway, we can only hope. We can only live in, you know, oscillating between fear and hope.
Oh, my God. Shall I tell you a story?
Go on.
Guys, I don't know where this episode's going today, but...
We ain't got
YOLO.
There ain't no scenarios in this episode today.
I just don't even feel like doing a scenario, but we'll talk. Anyway, so I used to have this old school teacher back in the day called Abdurrahman. Yeah, he was amazing. He used to be a proper... Guys, remember when me and Colton talked about our religious days? So this happened in my religious days, yeah? So we used to have this teacher who's called Abdurrahman. I think you might see him on the TikTok. He's really knowledgeable. He's sat under loads of sheikhs, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I saw this TikTok video the other day, because you know my whole life is TikTok, and he basically said how he had this dream. Are you guys
you know,
ready?
You know a dream. You know I love a dream.
Let me just take a swig of my drink. Wow. Get ready, guys. Get your drinks. Right, so the dream was he dreamt of the Prophet.
No, he didn't.
What?
No, he
Why
didn't.
Why would he lie?
I'm not saying he's lying, but you know how, do you know how good it is.
Yeah, that's...
Do you know how sick it is if you dream of the Prophet?
Anyway, let me finish the story. Blew my mind.
It basically means that you've been chosen. You're a chosen one.
Basically. But listen, the story gets better. So he said he was chilling with his kids. Then they left and he was like lying. He was just, I don't know what he was doing. Anyway, he had a little nap. It was an afternoon siesta. And he woke up in this massive field. It was like, it was grass, but there was also sand. And he goes, he had his kids with him. And he specifically remembers one of his boys. So he was like, there's loads of people. There's two lines. One line's going really fast. One line's going a bit slower. So he goes, let me get it. So he was like, I'm just paraphrasing, but you know, you get it. He goes, anyway, in one of the lines that's going fast, he sees two shayukh. So I think it was Albani and another sheikh, but I forgot his name. So sad that I forgot his name. Anyway, Albani, he said, had a notebook. And he was writing in the notebook from this other sheikh. So I'm assuming the other sheikh was, I forgot his name. Anyway, guys, I'm going to post it on the Instagram story when this podcast comes out so you can watch it. Anyway, so imagine seeing Sheikh Albani in your dream, like, wow. So he sees Sheikh Albani and their line is going fast. So then they get to the Prophet. He didn't describe how the Prophet looked.
Why?
That's what I was waiting for.
Even though we know the description based on hadith, but still, like...
So Sheikh Albani and this other sheikh, they go towards the Prophet, they shake his hand, and he's smiling with them, and then they tell them to go to go forward and go to the people behind the Prophet, salam, yeah? So he goes, there's loads of people behind the Prophet.
You know I love a dream about the Prophet.
So basically, I tried to play it for Colton. Now Colton's in shock right now because of what was said.
That's so deep.
I know. So listen.
I'll be heartbroken.
Pause. Let's tell the people first.
Okay, go.
So the dream was, so we stopped at where, so the sheikh that I was talking about was Jabir and Sheikh Albani. So they met the Prophet. He put them like, they shook his hand. They kissed his hand in the dream, he said. And then like the Prophet was smiling at them and he told them to go to a particular area. Then it was Abdurrahman that came forward with his children, and he said that he shook the Prophet's hand, he kissed him, he was smiling at him, and then he was told to go to a different place. So there was like two different places. And he goes, there were security guards like separating people, do you get it, in the dream? So he said to the security, why can't I go over there? Basically, the people on that side where Sheikh Albani went, rahimallah, they were facing the Prophet. And he said, and then where Abdurrahman was sent, they were behind the Prophet. So he said, why can't I go and see the Prophet like up front? And then they basically said to him, what have you done for the Prophet's religion? What have you contributed? You can't go there, basically.
Is that how it ends?
So basically, guys, what we listened to was him telling the story. His son said, Dad, why can't we go sit in front of the Prophet? And he was like,
bear in mind, the area where the Prophet is has got big players.
It's got big boy people.
Yeah, it's the Champions League.
It's got, you know, it's just got mad.
An all-star lineup
of people who actually dedicated their life to Islam.
Yeah.
Okay. You can see Abu Bakr, you can see loads of people, rahimahullah, right? Anyway, so the son goes to Abdurrahman and says to him, Dad, why can't we go there? And then Abdurrahman's like, listen, this is based on action. And we just didn't get it today because we're just not performing on that level, the level they're on. Now, bear in mind, obviously, Abdurrahman's a human being.
Well, can I ask you a question, though? You know, the Prophet, didn't he say that out of all his ummahs, this one's going to be an exceptionally tough one to practice your deen in?
Mm.
So surely, come on.
I mean, he got to meet the Prophet. Do you think we'd ever meet the Prophet?
Inshallah.
Please, but I'm just saying, but based just, on action but and I'm merit, just, I don't
yeah,
think so.
I know, I understand, but I'm just saying, yeah, look, given... Okay, you know what? I'm not going to lie. These people probably face loads of hardship as well. But also, isn't the last ummah the most favourited ummah?
The last one is the most favorited Omar.
Because they get tested
and we get tested bare. Like, guys, the test is everywhere. And you know, when I listen to this, yeah, I really want you guys to listen to it. So I'm going to post it the day of the podcast so you guys know what we're talking about.
You know
what?
I'm going to make a specific dua that Abdurrahman gets to meet the Prophet
again, isn't it? Like, but like, he's already amazing. But
do you know what? Should I tell you why, yeah? Should I tell you why this is good? He saw it in a dream.
Who gets to see the Prophet in
a dream? Yeah, he saw the Prophet in a dream. He shook his hand. He kissed his hand. Yeah, but... the dream is telling him something.
Yeah.
So he's obviously going to go back and say, right, I need to do more. Yeah. It's going to motivate him to do more.
Yeah.
And then when push comes to actual shove, you know, he might actually
get bust case.
Be in the Champions League.
But in comparison, he's a person. Now, he's an ordinary human being.
He's an exceptional human being.
He's an ordinary human being. He's taught us a lot. He's very well versed. His teenage years was sat under going Cairo, Yemen, Saudi, yeah. Sitting under Shuyukh. Like, his whole life has been based on teaching knowledge. And that's him, bruv. And in my mind, I thought, imagine little old us struggling with their salah, which is already like another level. May Allah make it easy for us, yeah? Like, who are we? Are we ever going to see? Like,
we are like ants.
And it just makes me sad that we all have to work hard.
No, but for real, like, we actually need to work hard. People think Jannah is just a golden ticket.
No.
It's just that it's easy to get a bit of istighfar here, there, nah.
Nah, but guys,
people are out here devoting their whole life to Islam, to the deen, and they're not even...
The shuyukh that he's talking about, Sheikh Albani.
But how was good? Hold on, can I just say those examples, yeah? Okay, I'm not saying that's unreachable. Yeah, we can do it, but like, it's
like they're on a level, Kultum, where they've like completely closed them off from this life.
From yeah, they're like not, their they're ideology. Not, they don't even see dunya.
No, their ideology is how do I make it in the akhirah? And I think that's the one thing, the deception of this world. Because I feel like the current state of the world that we're in at the moment.
We're deceived.
This, I feel like this social media AI, I genuinely think it's like, it's based on Dajjal.
We're finished. We're actually finished.
I genuinely think everything.
Yeah. Abdurrahman didn't get to see the Prophet in the dream either.
He saw the Prophet, but he didn't get to go where the Prophet wanted.
But I just think, yeah, look, can I just say, there's different levels to this, right? There's different levels. There's certain people, yeah, even the Salaf, yeah, there used to be certain people that used to compete with each other to do good deeds. Like, we don't even do that. We don't compete with each other to do good deeds. These lot used to say, you're doing that, I'm doing this. Do you get it? I just feel like, yeah, if we're gonna get anywhere, we've got to at least pray for the lowest Jannah. We've got to at the very least, yeah.
We've got to smart goals this, Kultum. We can't pray for the lowest. We need to aim for the highest.
This is what I did at uni. Aim for a first, I got a 2-1.
Exactly.
We need to aim for Jannah to Firdaus and get the smallest one.
I'll be happy with the little one up, the crazy one, just the first one here. I'll be happy with that.
But I'm just gonna say, we're actually like, We're done.
Okay. I'm going to get into conspiracies here, yeah? But I don't think it's a conspiracy, because if you really think about it, but guys, like, follow me here. Yeah? Just follow me and I'm going to land. I sometimes, when I sit down in my balcony after I put my kids to bed, yeah, I look up in the sky and like, do you guys ever just look up in the sky and think, I'm always looking straight ahead, looking at the ground. I never look at the sky. But this is
and it makes you ponder.
It makes you think there is more to life. There's actually a hereafter. We are actually going to die and we're going to be judged by two angels.
We're in the Matrix.
But this is what the deception that the shaitan creates for us, guys. And let me land, okay? I genuinely feel like the shaitan puts all these worldly affairs in our face. He makes money the biggest struggle that we have to survive. Mm. He makes getting a career and having the big house and being successful on this dumb, stupid podcast.
World.
He just makes this world the only thing.
It glamorizes it.
That's the only thing I work for.
And he
for.
Does it through social media. He's in your little phone.
Everywhere, guys.
He's in your ear whispering.
In my ear, he's whispering. You know, there's a shaitan dedicated to you, or a jinn, or whatever they're called. There's a particular one dedicated to you that whispers in your ear. And you've also got angels with you. But my point is, yeah, there is so much happening to us. We're getting hit left, right, center, from the top to the bottom. That's what shaitan said. That's the promise he made to Allah.
Said, I'm going
to
get them from the left, from the back, from the up.
Literally.
He's just there. He's there.
And he's controlling us, and he makes us sad and depressed that we didn't get like something in this world.
Those horrible thoughts that we get in our heads.
It's him. It's his what's worse. But my point to you guys is, like, once in a while we wake up from the matrix and we're like, no, like, there's a life after here. Like, I actually, this is just 80 years.
Yeah.
It's literally and then 80. That's it. Like, the hereafter is forever. So if you're stuck in hell and you don't bust case, you're stuck.
You better ask about me.
You better ask about me, guys. You better.
You better flip and ask
nah,
about me.
Nah, forget you. I'm asking my listeners.
Ask about us. Guys, if you don't see me in Hard and Jannah, please ask about us.
Guys, wallah, we hope we made you laugh. We hope we reminded you of Allah. Like, I know this podcast
is a joke.
It's a joke sometimes, and we just talk about stupid shit.
No, but this
shit.
Is actually serious. Like, wallah, al-azim, I'm being serious.
Please ask about us, guys.
If you don't see, do you know what? I'm going to make a promise, yeah? Every single person that listens to us, I'm going to ask about you guys.
You don't even know them.
I'm going to say the podcast audience. Yeah, I'm going to ask about you. I'm going to say the podcast audience. I'm going to generalize it and just say, where's my podcast audience? Please ask about me and Arthur.
But also, it's about what we do. And it's about us waking up and working towards it. And also,
and it's also about the sort of stuff that we put out on this podcast as well. Because do you know what? We're going to get asked about that.
Oh my God, we are. Wallahi, we are. Guys, should we change up this podcast? Because I actually want it to be halal. I'm over it now. Do not send me any stories about your evil husbands.
Yeah, man. I don't even want to hear about it anymore. I'm sick of it. It makes us sad.
No, I'm actually upset now. I think we need to look at the direction of this podcast.
I think we need to have a strategic plan.
Guys, let's have a plan together.
What do you guys want to see on this podcast? Because you know what? Me and Arthur, we want to go Jannah.
I want to go Jannah. I don't want to be told I'm backbiting. But anyway, the other thing I wanted to say is, guys, I don't want to cause you guys anxiety. Obviously, this...
And we're not trying to create fitna in people's homes.
No.
Because, you know, sometimes, yeah, I feel like someone could easily listen to one of our scenarios and start looking at their husband sideways.
That's true.
Do you know what I mean? And we caused that.
No, we didn't cause that. Maybe. Don't be trying to use me in the day of judgment saying it's my fault and I should go to hell for you.
No, we need, do you know what? We're going to have...
No, we're overthinking this. Well, no, we're not. We're not overthinking this. We're really bad. Subhanallah. Okay, guys, you know what? We're going to make a plan with you. We're bringing out our Patreon at the end of the month. It's not a surprise now. I'll get over it. So you're going to see it at the end of the month, but also we're going to create a Discord and that's where you guys can chat to us like iMessage, WhatsApp, you get it?
So you guys can all talk. Give us tips to make
so
the podcast
halal. So we're all going to talk.
Halal.
We're going to talk about how we're going to revive Oversharers and make it halal.
We're going to make, honestly, the new vision, the new goal for Oversharers, the question that we're going to be asking is, how can we make the Oversharers halal?
Amen. Amen to that. Also, I don't want you guys to leave this episode feeling anxious and feeling like you're a shit person and Allah doesn't love you, because Allah is merciful.
He's merciful. Always remember to think good of your Lord, because and like, that's, you know what I mean?
The more he tests you is the more he loves you.
Yeah,
he just
think
wants
good
you
of
to
your
bust
Lord.
Case.
That's how he's going to think of you.
Yeah, so I don't want you guys to think and be nervous that we've put anxiety in you. It's true. I don't think a lot of us are doing what we need to do. I think we need to reflect, including me, number one, first. But I also think just go easy on yourself. Be patient. There's this girl on TikTok. Lol. It's my whole thing. I think we should have a t-shirt that says there's this girl on TikTok. Anyway, she's like really, she does simple things. And she does these really cute ways to keep herself steadfast. And if you pray your prayers and you do your dhikr and you remind yourself a lot, what can go wrong?
So basically you just need to keep doing those continuous acts of worship, because you know what, that's all we can do, isn't it?
You know what, we need to do an episode of how to make the five daily prayers easy.
Should I make you laugh? Do you know how easy it is for married women to go Jannah?
Go on, tell us.
So there's a hadith from Prophet
Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam,
where he said that in all, oh my God. Okay, so listen to this, yeah? This is how easy it is for a woman to go Jannah. Married woman, listen up. Yeah, so Abu Huraira reported that the Messenger of Allah, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, said, if a woman prays her five prayers, not even talking about,
okay,
not the other prayers.
Just the five. Okay.
Fast her month of Ramadan, guards her chastity.
What does that mean?
Just protects her,
okay,
herself.
Cool.
Obeys her husband. She will enter Jannah from any gate she wishes. Any gate.
It's as simple as that.
So that's the blueprint for the ladies.
I don't know all about the men. You gotta go find, do your research.
Gotta do a bit more, I think. But yeah, for a woman to go to Jannah from any gate she wishes, she has to pray her prayers, fast her Ramadan, guard her chastity, and obey her husband. Now, which one do you think the girlies struggle with?
Obey her husband.
They probably struggle with all of them.
Obey her husband. Joking.
But that one there, yeah.
But you know, there's that other hadith, yeah. Right, get it out.
Oh, for God's sake. I'm so sorry, girls.
Pause.
But you know what? We're not going to be ignorant on this matter. It's better that we know.
If we're going to talk about hadith, we've got to get the hadith out.
Okay, so the hadith in question is about women in hell. Okay, so the Prophet ﷺ said, I was shown hell. I saw that most of the inhabitants were ungrateful women. The Prophet was asked, were they ungrateful to Allah? And he replied, they were ungrateful to their husbands and for the favours and the good done to them. If you show benevolence to one of them and then she sees something in you not to her liking, she will say, I have never seen good in you. Now tell me,
that is so easy to do, though.
Do people say that just in passing arguments?
Especially when you've got the ick and he does something nice for you and you're like, ugh, like that's rude. That's actually really horrible.
I've never seen good in you. I've never seen.
But I think it's so easy to fall into that. There's that other, the other, that's not the one that I was talking about though. The hadith that I was talking about is the women that backbite.
So these women would habitually, so the woman in question, the ungrateful, would habitually curse, swear and backbite. Oh my God, we need to stop swearing. We need to stop backbiting.
You know, backbiting is so easy to do as well. You just smirking. Let's say you and your friend see someone and you just like smirk because you see the same thing. Mm. That's actually backbiting.
Because it's all about the intention, acts are by intention. Yeah. If you're smirking at each other because
like you're taking the piss out of something, yeah. Or anyone.
But does backbiting have to be spoken or can it just be in?
It can be spoken, so you physically backbite someone, which is horrible. But it's also like snarky things that you do. Like imagine you and me see something funny, like someone funny comes on the bus and we both look at each other and we start going, that's backbiting. Can we end it with a nice hadith with Hadith Qudsi or something?
No, but listen to me very carefully. No, because this is really important. I'm not going to lie. Women are going to hell for being ungrateful and not being nice to their husbands. I think that's a massive sign for the direction that the oversharers needs to take in terms of halalifying. Another thing is they're cursing, they're swearing, they're backbiting.
I swear so much, guys.
Yeah. But you know what? If they do less of that, less of the ungratefulness, less of the cursing, the swearing, the backbiting, and more of the five things that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that will get them into Jannah through any gate they wish, they'll be all right. I would just stick to the positive one, do the positive one in great deal. And if you fall short, keep going with the positive one and seek forgiveness for the crap that you do.
Yeah.
Innit? Because what else?
Like, what else can we do?
What else can we do? Because everyone's always going to fall into this shit. We've got shaitan in our ears.
Left, right,
center. Left, right,
center.
Put in horrible thoughts. Like, I swear to God, Harder, the worst thoughts that I've ever come into my mind about an individual have come in the last, I don't even want to say that because it's going to hot things out. But it's like one small thing and then it escalates and then it gets bigger and then the thought just, do you know what I mean? Starts taking all these little nasty turns.
I'm not going to lie, guys. When I'm not connected to Allah, yeah, and I'm not going to expose my sins, but I'm going to say, when I'm not connected to Allah and I'm going through crazy stuff and my life is not going the direction that I want it to go and I'm constantly angry, worried, depressed, stressed, overeating, the only thing that can take that away is if I'm connected to Allah by praying, mm-hmm. being steadfast in my faith and knowing that Allah, if Allah wishes something for me, it will happen. Mm-hmm. And I'm, you know, an understanding divine decree and accepting, because that's one of the pillars of Iman. That's something that a lot of people struggle with, like the journey your life's going. You're constantly stressed about the journey of your life when Allah has already written it for you and you've just got to accept it. Do you know what I mean?
You've got to accept that your life has been written way before you were born, way before the existence of you. Allah knows everything that you're going to do in this life. The only thing that is going to F you up is if you just keep listening to
the shaitan.
And just, and also another thing is like, you can't be weak when it comes to this stuff. You have to literally be strong. You have to say F off to your desires.
Self-control.
Self-control.
Wow. Like, it's so hard, but it's so needed. Because you need self-control for so many things. And the self-control, the control of your nafs, your soul, is the hardest thing possible, but it needs to happen.
Do you not feel like it was easier, though, when you were younger?
I do. Why is that? Because the realities of adulthood have now hit me. Adulting is the worst thing that's ever happened to
adulting
humans.
Adulting is a fitna.
It's a lie. It's capitalist orchestrated lie.
We're cogs in the system.
We are. And it's just created this cycle where I feel like my life is constantly in despair. But I'm shunning away from the things that are like going to help me. I know praying, being steadfast, controlling my nafs, that's all going to direct me into having a better life here and the hereafter, but actually here as well.
Yeah.
But then Shaitan gets into your head and he makes you feel like this is your only situation. You're a victim. You're depressed. You have to do these 10 million things to get yourself out. But that's not the case.
But you know what it is? It's all about perception at the end of the day. It's all about how you perceive the things that are being whispered to you. Do you not think? Because you know, sometimes, you might have a situation where, for example, you'll start thinking these horrible thoughts. But then there's people out there who don't even have deen. Bear in mind, there's people out there who don't have deen that are able to see the good in these horrible thoughts. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're able to have like a growth mindset.
Yeah.
I just think if you start training your brain
to be positive
in the face of the whispers, in the face of the thing that you're trying to control yourself from doing, in the face of shaitan, if you just look at it as though it's, you've got to have a positive perception about it. Because that's going to change your whole mindset. And it's going to make you remember Allah even more.
But it's attaching that positivity to Allah. Like, Allah will make my life better.
But the positivity always comes from Allah.
Yeah.
That's how I see it. If it's something negative, it came from shaitan. Sometimes me, because I'm a bad person as well.
Yeah, true. But I think it's your nafs.
Yeah, I'm just being punished. It's all right, though. It's all right.
And also, the more you're punished on this earth, the more it expiates your sins.
Yeah.
So and it's Allah, less sins to
Allah
judge.
Allah tests the ones that he loves, right?
Exactly.
We need to bust case hard.
Honestly, guys, the test is so big, wallahi. Left, right, center. And we're all in it. And we all just have to push forth. Because this life... You might not even get to 80, my G. You might get to 50. 50
you might
years
not see
only.
Tomorrow.
Literally. And it just scares me that we're not doing what we need to do. So let's all remind ourselves. How can we end on a positive note? Because I feel like this episode's been very up and down.
Peaks and troughs. Positive note. Yeah. I just think people need to go easy on themselves. One thing that we've discovered from just seeing scenarios that people have sent us is people are just generally living the same lives. Yeah. Humans are predictable. The behaviours are predictable. And like, don't see your situation as an exception. Do you know what I mean? Everyone is going through shit. Mm. And it's just all about how you navigate it, how you perceive it, what you do in the face of that. Like,
and always bring it back.
Stuff.
Yeah. And bringing it back to the remembrance of Allah. And I've had like a really good point and now it's gone. I think I'm really tired. That's why I'm not navigating this life properly. What was my point? Yes, the point I was going to make, if you take that out. So the point I was going to make to end it off with is like, you know that hadith that says when it comes to the end of time, holding on to your religion is like holding on to a piece of hot coal. That's how I feel at the moment. And I think that's how this time feels like because everyone...
But you know another thing?
Do you not feel like the religious people, the people of deen and knowledge are few?
I know. But I think that kind of relates to people's concept of time, right? You can't find time to do the things that you're supposed to do that bring you close to Allah. So things like work, you allow things like work to get in the way, or you allow things like your kids or whatever, you just allow things to delay. And then eventually after delay, it's going to be that you just don't do it at all. Right? So I just think we need to slow the hell down. I just think people need to slow down. And the key thing to remember is if you can't find time in your day to do more, just at least find 5 minutes in five different time periods to just pray your salah. Do you know what I mean?
Forget salah. 1 second. Put salah to one side. When was the last time you read Quran? I thought about this the other day, you know. I tried to. Basically, guys, I tried to test myself to do hift of 4 lines of a surah that I used to know back in the day. So you know how when you listen to music, whatever Quran that you memorized gets washed away? I didn't think that was true, yeah? So I tried to read a surah that I memorized when I was 15, 16 years old. And regularly, in the back of my mind, I used to replay it just to see if I still knew it. And I did. Anyway, I tried to read the surah the other night. Guys, it felt like I knew nothing.
You need to cancel your Apple Music subscription.
I have. I've even stopped listening to Taylor.
You need to cancel your Apple Music subscription.
I know, listen. Taylor won't torture you. It scared me. But listen to this, yeah. Anyway.
My poor ears.
Anyway, I tried to relearn the surah.
What surah was it?
It's Wal Mursalat.
Oh, dear.
It's actually a really hard surah. I tried to relearn the surah. Guys, it was not going in. I can read it, but I couldn't memorize it. So, yeah. So Quran's another one for me, but inshallah, guys.
Oh God, why can't it be Ramadan all the time?
Amen.
Isn't it?
But you know what, guys? No, we're not going to be sad.
We're not going to talk about how hard it is for people to hold on to their religion. We're going to end it on a positive note.
So end it on a positive
negative shit.
No, I didn't. It's the truth. I
don't want to hear about how difficult it is to hold a new religion.
Right, so we are going to end it on a lovely, happy note. So this is the 40 Hadith Qudsi, right? So this is number 15. So it says, on the authority of Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, who said that the Prophet ﷺ said, Allah the Almighty said, I am as my servant thinks I am.
I love this hadith!
I am with him when he makes mention of me. If he makes mention of me to himself, I make mention of him to myself. And if he makes mention of me in an assembly, I make mention of him in an assembly better than it. And if he draws near to me an arm's length, I draw near to him a cubit, which means
18 inches.
It's like a forearm. And I draw near to him a fathom. What is a fathom, Colton? Can you tell us?
Unit of length equal to 6 feet, 1.8 meters, usually used in reference to the depth of water. So that says that we're in 18 fathoms. So, okay, yeah, 6 feet.
Amazing. And if he comes to me walking, I go to him at speed. Another possible rendering of Arabic means, I am as my servant expects me to be. The meaning is that forgiveness and acceptance of repentance by the Almighty is subject to his servant truly believing that he is forgiven and merciful.
I just love that hadith so much. So much. I don't think you understand how much I love that hadith.
I wish I could read the notes that sheikhs have made about that hadith.
It's great hadith, isn't it?
Yeah. It just shows how much Allah loves us.
He just wants the best for us.
All of us.
So guys, Allah just wants the best for you.
So don't worry.
Just go walk to him, because he'll come running. Isn't that so lovely?
That's so lovely. Anyway, guys, that is the end of the episode. We love you guys so much. Thank you for listening. We didn't have any scenarios, but you know what? I liked it without scenarios today. It was an open discussion. Whatever we said, please take it as a pinch of salt. We are two little girls in a studio trying to figure out life, so figure it out with us.
Yeah, we're just word vomiting. We're just regurgitating a lot of stuff that's been in our head over the past week that we haven't been able to say.
Vocalize,
because we are stuck. We're suppressed.
In the matrix. Like we said. So make sure that you follow us on all Instagram and TikTok. Make sure you write a review on the Apple Podcast and you listen to us and rate us on the Spotify. And make sure you subscribe to the YouTube, because we're going to be editing 4 brand new episodes this week.
And they're being dropped back to back to back to back. I don't know how we're going to do the snippets. It might have to be one snippet per video.
I don't even know, but it's going to be great. And also, if you've got any ideas of how me and Colton are going to transform this podcast to make it more halal, so we remind ourselves and you guys of Allah, please let us know in our Instagram DMs. Love you guys.
Love you guys. Take care. Bye-bye.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.